Good morning, everyone, in this beautiful state of Hawaii, and to anyone else that may be tuned in to this White Wave broadcast. Hope all is well with you, with the assurance that you are in the embrace of the infinite light and wisdom that is Amida Buddha. This morning, I want to discuss with you a concept in Buddhism that is central to understanding the Dharma. It is called dependent arising, or dependent origination. The term dependent arising is used in different ways in Buddhist teachings. It can describe how we take rebirth in cyclic existence. Dependent arising also indicates that things depend on causes and conditions, all the essential parts that make up phenomena, including us, and the concepts and labels that we apply to those phenomena. Everything arises in dependence on other factors. All sentient beings, human or otherwise, are part of this complex web. In other words, no living being is an island. John Donne, the English poet and cleric, wrote, "No man is an island entirely of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a cloud be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as any manner of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." Unfortunately, our Western culture seems to emphasize our individuality, making us all think that we are concrete, unchanging, and independent. This causes us to view the world as separate from ourselves. And then we start to look at everyone and everything from the standpoint of how it either benefits or harms us. This delusion creates what we call attachments, which we now know better as the three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance, that translates into hatred, violence, and prejudice. In our ignorance, we start to classify people into three categories: friends, enemies, and strangers. We give the label friends to those people we are attached to because they satisfy our material and emotional needs and wants. Anyone who appears to harm us in some way or who interferes with what we want, we call enemy. Towards these people, we feel anger, hatred, jealousy, belligerence, and so forth. And strangers are everyone else in the world that we could care less about. We don't know them, and since they don't affect us one way or the other, we are indifferent or apathetic about them. We fail to realize another very important Buddhist teaching, that of impermanence and change. These categories of friend, enemy, and stranger are sometimes interchangeable. How often have we had a friend or a family member become the enemy? Or an enemy suddenly becomes a friend? Or a stranger becomes a friend or enemy? Or a friend or enemy winds up as a stranger? In short, our feelings of attachment, anger, and apathy towards friends, enemies, and strangers are not reliable. First, because they arise due to how these people relate to me. Forget about how they relate to everyone else. And second, because they go from one category to another in our minds according to differing circumstances. Buddhism teaches yet another critical concept, and that is equanimity, kindness, mindfulness, and calmness. When we develop equanimity, we can overcome our attachment, anger, and apathy, and have equal concern for all beings. We can learn to value and respect everyone, no matter whether we consider them a friend, enemy, or stranger, because they have all shown us some form of kindness if we think about it deeply. In fact, discriminating and dividing people into friends, enemies, and strangers become less important to us. Of course, as it is easy to see the kindness of friends, what about strangers? It is the kindness of strangers who make our clothes, the food that we eat, and the roads that we drive on so that we may enjoy a better life. You may say these people were just doing their job to make a living, but we have benefited from their efforts, and that is a kindness. Everything we use that keeps us alive is due to the many people's kindnesses, both here in this country or perhaps in some far-off impoverished country. But what about our enemies? How could they possibly be showing us kindness? Well, in our Buddhist practice, we are trying to develop our qualities of love, compassion, generosity, patience, tolerance, and fortitude. Do our friends or strangers help us attain those qualities? You might say not so much, but our enemies certainly test our resolve and help us to develop those virtuous behaviors. And so, yes, that is a kindness. Therefore, we should treasure our enemies. When we see that someone who we consider an enemy has been kind to us, they don't seem to be such a big bad enemy anymore. All sentient beings are just trying to find happiness and avoid suffering. Ignorance about reality is what causes us to act in ways that are harmful to each other. I read the story of a man who wrote about his teacher, a woman named Ida Gottrell Peterson, who was the kindest and most influential person in his life, who was an elementary school teacher who he was fortunate enough to have for both the third and sixth grades. Mrs. Peterson had excellent teaching skills, but she was also the epitome of kindness, compassion, and patience. She saw his real potential and was able to turn him away from his evil side. What was even more remarkable was the fact that she was the first African-American to teach in his all-white elementary school. Back in the late 50s and early 60s, this was a very controversial object and disturbing to many parents, and they wanted to get rid of her. He remembered distinctly his parents fighting to keep her at the school. Even at that young age, he knew this was the right thing to do and was so proud of his parents for standing up for what was right. Ida Gottrell Peterson passed away in 1999, and this person was trying to find her family and wrote to the elementary school he attended in Philadelphia to see if they can help him to find them. Mrs. Peterson went on to receive a PhD in education from the University of Pennsylvania in 1985 and spent the rest of her career teaching at a black college in Atlanta. He has also contacted this college. He regrets that he didn't try to find this woman 30 years ago to thank her for all her kindness and compassion. But at least he says he can try to thank her family now. As he was Googling, he found a website of a professor at Syracuse University who spoke of a teacher at his elementary school in Philadelphia who had a deep impact on his life. It was Ida Gottrell Peterson. A number of years ago, there was a reunion of some of her former students. This was after she passed away. It was very evident that she must have influenced the lives of many young people during her career. Kindness and compassion should have nothing to do with race, ethnicity, or religion. They are human qualities that are only hidden by our ignorance. He writes, "If it weren't for my parents, Mrs. Peterson could have been my enemy. I could have easily succumbed to the prejudice of the time. But due to the open-mindedness of my father and mother, she became a friend. Unfortunately, after he left elementary school, he allowed her to become a stranger, and will always have a tremendous regret for allowing that to happen. So if there is someone who you have been meaning to thank or apologize to, do it now while you still have the opportunity." His parents, in supporting Mrs. Peterson, allowed him to benefit from her compassionate and excellent teaching. Through their actions and his teacher's guidance, the causes and conditions were created that shaped his development as a human being. This is certainly dependent origination in action. Thank you for listening, and now let's put our hands together and recite the name of the Buddha of infinite light and life. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.